So glad you're all here with us tonight. Give yourselves a hand. Just for being in church. Excited to hear about heaven. Excited to hear what Jesus has prepared for you. Amen? Amen. Now, people around you come with all different things going on in their lives. Some people are here from different churches. We welcome you. Thank you for coming. We hope tonight really blesses and encourages you. There's people watching on the internet right now all over the country. We appreciate you as well, and we welcome you into the service. Tonight, just to give you a little bit of direction, Brother Gary's about to come up. He's going to minister, and then when he does, he'll give a closing prayer time at the end. He'll share with you at that. I'm going to come back up at the end, and we're going to receive an offering as well. We want to bless Brother Gary, bless his ministry. So throughout the night, you might be just saying, okay, Jesus, would you have me do anything in that offering? And then we'll receive one offering at the end of the service. That's the only offering that we'll receive tonight. And then after that, Pastor Gary's going to pray for those who might need healing tonight. So you're not going to want to skip out. If you need prayer, if you've come with something going on in your physical body, we're going to believe God for God to touch you, to heal you, totally restore you. And so even though we're closing the service, we'll obviously be dismissed at that point. But if you would love prayer, we'll be here praying to believe God for supernatural divine healing in your body, okay? All right, are you ready, everybody? All right, so glad. Pastor Gary has come a number of times now to the church every few years or so. We love bringing him back in. We enjoy his testimony. We enjoy him as a person, as a man of God, as in character, as integrity. And also the story that he has to tell is not just a story, it's a reality. And it's one that we all face. And as we hear the truths of that, I love the Bible where it tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, and hearing the truth of the place that the Lord has prepared for us. Some of you here have recently lost loved ones. Some of you here, maybe even you've lost people way years and years ago, but that hurt's still there. But you know, the Bible tells us that we don't mourn like those who have no hope, and that we will see them again. And so tonight, let it be an encouragement to you. Some of you have maybe lived your life with a fear of death. And the Bible says that the devil controls people with that fear of death. And you don't have to be afraid. The Lord, when he said he goes to prepare a place for you, he really has. And you, the believer, never have to be afraid of death because you never die. Death is swallowed up with life. Amen. Would you please welcome Brother Gary to the platform? Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, love. Hallelujah. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so kind and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Hallelujah. And I've got good news for you tonight. He cares for you. Amen. He really loves you. I'm so honored to be back at Life Church. Are we on?
It's making a weird staticky sound.
We don't want anything making a weird sound. We only want to hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind and the power of the Holy Spirit. I have just recently returned from the Holy Land, where I spent 14 days walking where Jesus walked, got to minister there, and Pastor Kevin, I got to actually preach where Jesus delivered the sermon on the Mount, got to preach there, and got to preach where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, And a lady came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, you just made my trip. She said, I was really blessed by listening to you. So I talked to her for a few moments and learned she was from Carmel, California. And then we went our separate ways. 2 days later, we're up the Golan Heights that's been in the news recently. And here's this lady. She comes up to me again. And she said, you're that preacher from Texas. And I said, you're that lady from California. And she said, preacher. She said, when you were preaching, she said, Jesus healed me of crippling arthritis. And she began to move her hands. She began to move her joints that once were stiff. And so I have good news to announce to you. The tomb is still empty. And Jesus the healer is alive. Amen. And the great physician is here tonight to make a house call for you. And I believe with all my heart, if you'll just reach up and believe, this is your night. Because Pastor Kevin, as I was preparing for this message, the Lord said, I want you to start by telling the people that this is turnaround time. This is turnaround time. Turnaround time. I don't care what you've been going through, what circumstance or mountain or giant has been combating you or telling you you couldn't overcome. This is turnaround time. Amen. And he said, tell the people to take off all limits tonight. For I am a God without limitations. So I want you just to stand up with me one more time, if you will. And lift a hand up or lift a Bible if you have it. And just say, Heavenly Father, I'm so honored to be in your presence tonight. I don't believe it's an accident. I believe I have a divine appointment. Because the situation I am in is subject to change. Jesus Christ is here tonight to meet my physical, spiritual, and financial needs. Tonight, Jesus cares for me. He will restore me. Whom the Son sets free is really free. So I choose to be free from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. Because Jesus bore them for me, I choose not to bear them any longer. I choose to walk in the glorious freedom and liberty He has provided for me. In Jesus' name, I will be changed in this service because it's turnaround time. It's turnaround time. Now I want you just to turn around. Just turn around. Hallelujah. Say to someone, God has a miracle for you tonight. Say to someone, God has a miracle for you tonight. Believe and receive it. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus Christ has gathered together his disciples in an upper room, and he's giving them some final instructions before his departure from the earth. He's going to go, and he's going back to his home, a place called heaven. And in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. One translation says dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The literal Greek translation of verse 2 reads like this. Doubt not that there is for all of you a place in my Father's house. for I'm going on purpose to prepare it. The most stupendous thought that can ever occupy the mind of man is heaven and how to get there. And thank God he has not left us to grope in darkness, but he's given us his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The human heart longs for the blessed immortal assurance that one day we're going to live with God forever. And I have good news for you. Jesus has been preparing for us such a place. And he's personally promised to return and to take us to live with him throughout all eternity. And he wants each and every one of us, hallelujah, to be prepared to go there. Because when God created you, he created you as an eternal being. The Bible says man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says that God has set eternity in your heart. Something tells you that there's more to life than just the mere 60, 70, maybe 80, possibly 90 or 100 years that you're allotted here upon this earth. And since we were made for eternity, the things of this world are never going to be able to completely and permanently satisfy us. The Bible teaches that one day we're going to die. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. The Bible says surely there is a hereafter. The Bible says, James 4:14, what is your life? It just appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. So all of the accumulation of this world's goods is not worth selling your soul for. That's why Jesus said, and we need to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16:26. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Bible teaches the only way you're going to go to heaven is by receiving and confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Buddha won't save you. Muhammad won't save you. Confucius is still confused. Jesus is the only way. There's a beautiful little island near the Indian Ocean called Burma. And at the top of the mountain there is a temple, and it's called the Temple of the Tooth. There, pilgrims will go once a year at least, and they'll worship a shrine that contains one tooth of a man by the name of Buddha. Now, when I finish telling my testimony, you can know it more clearly, but I've got a whole set of teeth that was given to me via as a result of this automobile accident. I say my teeth are like the stars. They come out at night. And if you want to worship teeth, well, you might as well worship a whole set. Are you going to stake your eternal existence up on one tooth? How utterly foolish. I was recently in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And unbeknownst to me, there was a Buddhist sitting in the audience, young college young man. And when I shared just this little tidbit of information, he decided he wasn't going to risk his eternal soul on one tooth. And he came down and received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he was born again. Now, here's what the Quran teaches. If you want to know about what they think about life after death, here specifically, I quote Surah 79 verses 1 through 2. When you die, the angel of death comes, removes your soul from your body. He starts at your toenails, works his way up to the body until he finally draws the whole soul out of your mouth. The pain is very intense for those who are evil, but Allah makes it easy for the righteous. And then you go to the grave to wait for the day of judgment. The grave can be a little paradise, or it will be a place of torture. Allah decides. Now, if you ask any Muslim that's sincere, Where are you going to spend eternity? Then they have to answer based upon what the Quran says. Allah decides. Well, I'd rather put my trust and faith in something more secure. I have just been to the Holy Land. I just went there outside the Damascus Gate. There's a beautiful little tranquil garden there. Most people believe that's where the body of Jesus Christ was laid in a buried tomb. And it was a borrowed tomb because he wasn't planning on permanent occupancy. And when you go there, there's a sign on the outside of the door that says, "He is not here, he is risen." Ladies and gentlemen, young people, Life Church, the distinct difference between Christianity and all other religions on the face of the earth is we serve a risen Savior. And our founder's alive. And he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." For someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, death is not a tragedy, but it's a glorious promotion. It's not a sad ending, but it's a glorious beginning. How do you get born again? The Bible says all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. Every one of you have broken at least one of God's 10 commandments in your life so far. And if you had the audacity to stand up and say, "Hey, preacher, I kept all of God's commandments from my youth up," I'd say to you, there's one you haven't kept. The Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself." And from the moment you were born until right now tonight, you haven't always loved God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you certainly don't love your neighbor as yourself. And so you're guilty. And James 2:10 says, if you break the law in one point, then you're guilty of breaking the whole law. So all have sinned. All stand in need of redemption. How do you get born again? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Then you confess him with your mouth. Now, it's not just joining a church. You can join every church in this area. You can be water baptized in every stream and pool because water won't wash away dirt without a little soap. How in the world is it going to wash away your sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Maybe you'd stand up and say, well, I'm going to try to get to heaven based on my good, clean, moral living. I had a man one time, Pastor Kevin, and he came up to me and he shined his big fraternal ring. He belonged to this lodge here upon the earth, and he shined that big ring in my face as if to indicate that when he died, he'd automatically go to heaven. And I said, "Sir, is your other hand born again?" Morality will keep you out of jail. It takes Jesus to keep you out of hell. Maybe you try to impress God with your good education. I was an outstanding student when I was in college. I was usually outstanding in the hall watching the girls go by. I was a very promising student. I promised my parents every report card I'd do better. But education without God is in vain. You take a thief that'll steal the hubcap off your car, educate that dude, he'll steal your whole car. If education would have solved life's problems, we'd have solved them a long time ago. The most important decision you will ever make in this life is to determine where you're going to spend eternity. And I pray tonight, if you haven't settled that, that you will before this service is over. Now, I don't want to belittle joining a church or being water baptized because I believe in that. I belong to a local New Testament church. I believe every believer needs to have a church home. I believe you need a pastor. And I believe you need to obey God's commandments. And you'll certainly want to do that. Follow Him in water baptism and being discipled by a wonderful group of people like here at Life Church once you've received Jesus Christ and made Him Lord of your life. But that's the most important decision you can ever make, because it will settle your eternal destiny. I was born on March the 1st, 1949 in Dallas, Texas, under the name Gary Lynn Dobbins. At a very early age, my parents proved they did not want the responsibility of raising my little sister and I, and so they took us and put us on the front steps of a porch of a family by the name of Wood. This family went through all the legal process in the state of Texas, the capital being Austin, to adopt us into their family, granting unto us all the rights and privileges of one bearing the family name. I can easily identify with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where he says, we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but rather we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father is very intimate in the Greek. It means daddy, daddy, or papa, papa. And the word adoption means being placed as a son into a family with all the rights and privileges of one bearing the family name. I and my little sister went through the legal process. We were adopted. Our name was legally changed, and all of our needs were met, and many of our heart's desires were granted unto us. We came out of an abusive relationship. Both of my parents were practicing alcoholics. Both of my parents today would probably be in prison because of the abuse that they gave to me and my little sister. My father would take cigarettes in his drunken stupor, and he would extinguish them between my legs just to see my response. To this day, I still carry those scars upon my body. But suddenly now, everything dramatically changed. And we got to enjoy a wonderful family environment. We were taken on a regular basis to the Hillcrest Southern Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, where I heard a very simple gospel message proclaimed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In childlike simplicity, I responded, and I asked Jesus Christ into my life to wash away all of my sins and make me a brand new creature in Him. I grew up in this loving environment, have many wonderful, cherished childhood memories. Because of economic reasons, my family had to move from Dallas, Texas, where I was born and raised, to a town called Farmington, New Mexico, that borders on the four corners of Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. I say this very humbly, but I only say it to emphasize the incredible miracle of which I'm about to share with you. For 3 years in a row, God ordained and allowed me to win number one in all state solo competition. With that, I received a scholarship, of which I chose to apply to Wayland Baptist University in Plainview, Texas. I went the first semester. I returned home. It was December the 23rd, 1966. My cousin called me. He said, we're going to have a high school reunion. He said, tonight we're going to have a party and just talk about and see where everybody's gone and what's going on in everyone's life. And so my father let me borrow his Oldsmobile station wagon. Now, they don't make cars like that anymore. That car's like a tank. And my little sister accompanied me, and we went over to our cousin's home, and we had a wonderful time. There was no drinking. There was no drugs, just good, clean fellowship. Party broke up approximately 10:25, somewhere around there, and we started home. Snow was falling. It was beautiful. The season, the Christmas season, was in high gear, and lights were twinkling from the houses. And my sister had a beautiful, melodious soprano voice. I was always captivated hearing her sing. at night, she began to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, and it was so beautiful. And I looked, and she smiled at me, and we were thinking about, in a couple of days, celebrating Christmas with our family, when suddenly she let out a blood-curdling scream. I turned, saw horror etched across her face. Farmington, New Mexico was in the midst of a big oil-filled boom. There was a big truck. It was illegally parked on the edge of the highway late that evening. My sister saw just a reflection in the headlights, and she screamed to warn me, but it was too late, and we crashed into it. It squashed the car like an accordion. I felt an explosion in my nose. I felt a sharp searing pain on the lower portion of my facial extremities, and then I was free of all pain. Dying was just simply like taking your clothes off, discarding and laying them aside, stepping out of them. And I arose and I entered into the dimension known as eternity. I explained it more in detail in my book. This is the realm that God functions and operates in. The Bible teaches to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible teaches in Isaiah that angels will come, and angels did come, and they took me underneath their wings, and they began to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power. Wisdom and dominion be given unto thee forever, O Lord. Amen and amen." And with the hallelujah chorus reverberating off the walls of my soul, I was lifted up, engulfed in a bright, brilliant light, but not as blinding as these lights that are currently shining in my face. I was carried until I was deposited at the bottom of a beautiful green grassy hill. There were diamonds like dew all over the grass. When you took a step, there were no indentions where you had previously stepped. I saw the city laid out in the form of a cube, but there were 12 foundations. The names of the apostles were inscribed in the foundations. There were 12 gates of pearl with the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. I had a scientist come to me, and he told me that they had done some calculations. And he said just one of those gates of pearl equates to over 500 miles in width. The city's laid out in the form of a cube. It's 2,250,000 square miles at its base of perimeter, 780,000 stories high. And there's enough room to comfortably accommodate over 100,000 people. That's more people than have ever lived on planet Earth at any one time. Heaven is a real literal place on God's map. It's stable. It's secure. It's permanent. Job chapter 26 says that nothing could sustain it upon the earth. And so God stretched out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. It was pure, solid, transparent gold. There's an impurity in gold, and when that impurity is removed, gold in its finest state is not yellow. Rather, it's crystal clear. Jesus is the light of the city, reflecting off these 12 stones found in the high priest's breastplate. Exodus 28, 15 through 21. I was seeing something that staggers your imagination. I could give you each and every one of those stones and tell you what they mean and their beauty, but let me just give you one. The very first foundational stone is jasper. Jasper stands for diamonds and the glory of God. Think about it, ladies. One day you're not going to be wearing a tennis bracelet or an earring or a wedding ring or an anklet. You're going to be walking on it, sweetheart. You're going to be walking on pure, solid diamonds. And men, here's the kicker. We don't have to foot the bill. Glory to God. Our Heavenly Father has prepared this wonderful, beautiful place for us to spend all eternity with Him. There'll be no poverty there. Just think about it. The streets are pure, transparent gold. If you got a problem with prosperity, you're going to be miserable in heaven. There's no hospitals there. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no crosses on the hillside of heaven. It's a holy city. Nothing will enter into that city to defile it. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's not going to be any disappointment there. You're never going to have to pay rent on your mansion. Your clothing is never going to wear out. You'll never get hungry or thirsty. And young people, I just threw this in for you. There are no pimples in heaven. You're going to have beautiful complexion. And in heaven, you're going to be young forever. I remember walking up, and I remember an angel standing in front of one of those gates. And this angel had to be at least anywhere from 40 to 70 feet tall. I never saw an angel under 40 feet tall. This angel had a drawn sword. And again, I must emphasize that my only access into the city was because I had received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches, according to Luke 10:20 and Revelation 21:27, that no one shall enter into heaven but only those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so I was granted access into the city, and I went down a corridor. And after walking a little ways, I met my best friend in high school. He had died in a tragic automobile accident. It decapitated him, but I immediately recognized him, which answers in my mind, will we know one another in heaven? Now, when you get to heaven, you're going to have intuitive knowledge. That simply means you're just going to know who Adam and Eve were. You're going to know the Apostle Paul. You're going to know all these people, Moses and Daniel. Wouldn't it be wonderful sitting down with them and listening to them and hearing their stories firsthand? And you talk about music. Whatever flavor of music you enjoy, all God's musicians and singers are going to be there. In heaven, you're not going to be unproductive. You're not going to just be floating on a cloud and strumming a harp. Revelation 22:3 says, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be and in the city, and His servants will serve Him. We're going to have the honor of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords throughout all eternity. And it answers in my mind, will we know one another in heaven? Well, Matthew 8:11 says, sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How are you going to sit down with them if you don't know who they are? Now, I've incorporated this into my testimony, because when I'm on TV, I get asked this question via mail and email and personal contact. What about my loved one here upon the earth that died, and I'm just not sure whether they received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? When I get to heaven, am I going to miss them? Am I going to be sad if they didn't make it and I'm there? Well, I can give you three scriptures, but I'm only going to give you one. Psalm 9:5, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. So what does that mean? It means that there'll be no memory of them. It'll just be as though they never existed. But that ought to motivate us so much the more. Amen. To have services like we're having tonight, so that we can be sure all of our family and our loved ones are ready to go to heaven. The greatest tragedy is to miss heaven. My friend took me to a library. There I saw volumes of books. I saw the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me my name. It said, paid in full by the precious red blood of Jesus. I had a right to be there. Come on and praise the Lord. Glory to God. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I saw prayer requests, spiritual growth in the Lord, the record of souls that we have won to Christ. That's the dearest thing to the heart of God, is for us to lead people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:1 says that there's a great company, there's a great host, a cloud of witnesses the Bible talks about. And they don't see every little intricate thing that you're doing here on earth, But they are interested. They're pulling for you. They don't care what kind of car you drive or what you eat for breakfast or how you fix your hair or what necessarily you're wearing. But they are interested in spiritual things. And they're up there. They're encouraging you. They're in essence saying, come on, finish the race. Be faithful to its completion. And join us around the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. I don't know about you here, but I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking forward to the upper taker. I'm not anticipating a hole in the ground. I'm looking forward to a hole in the sky. And we're fixing to leave planet Earth. And we're going to live with Jesus for all eternity. And there are people who've already made the transition, your loved ones, your family members, and they're up there and they're saying, come on, run the race, finish the course. It will be worth it all when you hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then my friend took me to a grand auditorium. Think of the magnitude of where the Packers play or the Chicago Bears, something like that. There's all kinds of activities going on. I saw God's throne. God looked like a young man. The throne of God rests on a large oval diamond that's at least 100 miles wide, 50 miles from front to back, and over 75 miles high. I saw a beautiful emerald rainbow behind God's throne. I saw lightning flashes, thunder rolls, but there was no fear whatsoever. I saw the 24 elders representing the patriarchs of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. They were clothed in a white gown. They had crowns and they'd throw their crowns down saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And joining them were angels. There's a diversity of angels. There's some angels called seraphims. They're burning all the time with their devotion to God. And then there are cherubims. And cherubims have six wings. And these cherubims would take praises up towards God's throne and deposit them right at God's throne. They were carrying this magnificent, beautiful bowls. And from it was flowing a watery substance. And I asked my friend, I said, what is it? And he said, it's tears of the saints on the earth below. Whenever you shed a tear, it doesn't go unnoticed. But an angel cups it and takes it directly to the throne room of God on your behalf. Then I saw these angels carrying something I can only describe as the effect of dry ice. And they were taking it upwards and they were depositing it at God's throne. And I asked my friend, I said, what is that? And he said, that's the praises of God's people on the earth below and in heaven above. When we were worshiping and magnifying and praising God just a few moments ago, angels were here. Angels are here right now and they're collecting all of our corporate praise and they're taking it directly to the throne room of God on our behalf. Doesn't that make you want to praise God? Come on, more enthusiastically. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's give those angels something to do. Take that praise. Take it directly to the throne room of God on our behalf. Flowing directly from God's throne was a beautiful, crystal clear body of water the Bible calls the River of Life. It diversifies off into the 12 different streets. There are trees, and it takes at least 10 men, my size or bigger, linked arm to arm to go in and encircle one of those trees. There's all kinds of fruit on those trees. When you eat the fruit, you become the fruit. Pastor Maria, I used to say that and move on quickly, but people thought I meant you become fruity. So I had to stop and explain what I was talking about. You become whatever that fruit represents. All of you have questions and all of you want answers to those questions. And some of you have even said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus this and this and this. Well, probably not. You're going to be so enthralled with what's there and Him And you're suddenly going to have a knowledge of all that, and it just won't matter anymore because you're in His presence. Well, I ate of that fruit. It was so delicious, so satisfying. And then I was clothed with a robe. There's no drawing to male or female body parts, but yet you know someone is a male and a female. And on the outer garment, there are all kinds of decorations. In fact, you'll know your pastors and what they did, and you'll know musicians and others, and you'll just know because they will be rewarded for their fulfillment of their assignment here upon the earth. My friend took me down into the river. It literally had no bottom to it. But the water began to rise until it literally consumed me. I picked up golden nuggets bigger than my fist. I picked up all kinds of precious jewels and diamonds, and they just filtered through my hand like sand, reflecting the light of the city, Jesus, producing an aura of colors like a prism, like I have never before seen. All the colors in heaven are deeply enriched and intensified. Suddenly that water comes all over me and literally consumes me. In the water you can transmit a thought. You can go ahead and function. I was lifted up out of the river. I was placed on the other side of the bank. There I saw a host of redeemed humanity. And they were all worshiping and magnifying and rejoicing and praising God. Around God's throne I saw what looked like menorahs. There were seven golden lampstands, and they were reflecting the presence of the Holy Spirit. I saw trees clapping. I saw flowers with faces, and they were singing. The streets were called Hallelujah Boulevard and Praise the Lord Avenue. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what I witnessed and what I saw. Everything in heaven was rejoicing and magnifying and praising the Lord. And suddenly I heard a song that I knew upon the earth. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord, Lord of all. I turned to my friend John. I said, John, why are they singing hymn number 132 on the Baptist hymnal on the earth below? He said, Gary, all songs of the Spirit originate in heaven. He said, they are birthed in heaven. They're written in heaven. Then they're dropped down into the heart of someone who'll be faithful to give it forth for the glory of God. So I say to all you musicians, all you singers, you can become pregnant with a song directly from the throne room. And you can give it forth for the edification and the glory of God. Many of the songs we sing today in our circles, I heard them first of all in heaven. First time I ever heard, He is Lord, He is Lord. Remember that little chorus? I'd never heard that before. First time I ever heard it, I heard it in heaven. I heard all kinds of songs that I could mention and you'd immediately recognize. I heard them first there in heaven. Everything in heaven rejoices and magnifies and praises the Lord. People say to me often, Brother Wood, you need to slow down, especially since I've gone about 12 hours this day and 8 of it was on a plane and in airports. But I'm so refreshed just being in your presence. I'm not going to stop praising the Lord. Amen. Do you hear me? I'm going to praise Him in the noon morning. I'm going to praise Him in the noontime. And I'm going to praise Him when the sun goes down. Come on. Let's all rejoice. Come on and magnify the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy of all our praise. Everybody wants to know about animals in heaven. Right when it came, when I came into the entrance in heaven, it could handle and have it millions, without exaggeration, of people. What I saw were children. I saw little children. I saw little children rolling in the grass, playing with lions like you would play with your little kitten Fluffy. I saw all kinds of beautiful animals, magnificent, gorgeous, beautiful birds. I saw horses, all kinds of animals there that in God's original creation, He created animals for our enjoyment. And I believe there are going to be animals there in heaven. But I saw something that captured my attention, and it looked like that it was sculpture, like angels were sculpturing clay. And I asked my friend, I said, what are they doing? And he said, that's aborted and miscarried children. And angels were forming and fashioning them into the child that they were destined to be from their mother's creation in her womb. If you've had an abortion, just ask God to forgive you. God will cleanse you with His precious blood. You'll be reunited with that child once again. If you had a miscarriage, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. You're going to see that child once again. But until such time, God has angels, and the angels are taking care of that precious child for you. Zechariah 8:5 declares, this city is one with boys and girls playing in her streets. So there's going to be great, joyful excitement of hearing children as they're playing in this beautiful, magnificent place the Bible calls heaven. Then about 150 yards from the throne room of God, I saw one of the most intriguing parts of heaven. What captured my attention was what was written on the outside of the door. It looked like a place where you would store your personal possessions. But it simply said, unclaimed blessings. I opened the door and walked in with my friend John and saw legs hanging on the wall. I saw arms. I saw every part of one's anatomy there. You say, Brother Wood, why in the world does there need to be a place like that in heaven? Because God has a spare part room. God has a miracle for you. About 1934. He's over 100 years old right now, and he's still alive. Just recently, I read what I'm fixing to read to you in a church, and everybody started clapping. Later, the pastor said, we know him. We've had him in our church. He's spoken in our church. He's recognized as a prophet of God. He's from England, but now he lives in the United States. He's still currently alive. His name is Arthur Burt. But he gave this prophecy in 1934. And here's what he said concerning the days in which you and I are living. He said, it shall come as the breath. The breath shall become wind. The wind shall become rain. The rain floods. The floods torrents. Power. And arms and legs shall come down from heaven. And this time there shall be no ebb. This time the tide is coming in, but it will not go out again. Now here's what I saw. I saw people on the earth pray. I saw their prayers go up to heaven. I saw Jesus send out the angels. The angels dispensed and went and got the miracle that was requested, and they came. I saw people instantly receive their manifestation. I saw them lift up their hands and say, I believe, I receive in Jesus' name. But on the other hand, I saw others. And when the miracle was brought to them, they began to make excuses. How many of you know sometimes the devil will just do everything within his power to keep that manifestation from coming forth? And he'll throw fiery dart after fire. Am I talking to anybody? Fiery dart after fiery dart after fiery dart against your shield of faith until you think, my God, I can't handle another. And then suddenly, instead of a fiery dart, it's a missile come hurling through the air. But listen to me. If your attitude is, bless God, devil, if it's a fight you want, then it's a fight you're going to get. But when the dust settles, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You will win. You will win with that type of attitude. And so I saw people begin to make all kinds of statements, erroneous statements. And they'd say things like, this isn't the day of miracles. Listen to me, beloved. There never was a day of miracles. I said, there never was a day of miracles. There's a God of miracles. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've just got to emphasize this. If I can get you to believe the word of God and simply decree and declare, I believe, I receive in Jesus' name, you're opening the door to receive the miraculous touch of God upon your behalf. Lift your hands up and just say, I believe, I receive,
I believe, I receive.
In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
the miracle of which I'm believing for. I will not be denied. This is my night. In Jesus' name. Now give him praise. I make this statement all to the glory of God. But Pastor Kevin, since the beginning of this year, every church that I've gone into has had at least one notable miracle. A notable miracle. A notable miracle is one like I'm fixing to share with you concerning myself. It cannot be denied. It is documented. I believe that's going to happen all over here tonight. I believe there's going to be notable miracles for the glory of God in this service. Earlier this year, and I go into any church that will invite me to come, and I'll share as much as they're open and willing to receive. I went to a Baptist church. They were not as exuberant as you are in expressing themselves, but they were sweet, wonderful people, and they just wanted to hear about heaven. And so I taught about heaven, told them as much as I could share. I didn't say a single thing about the endowment of power from the precious Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. It came time for the invitation. People came forward, as you're going to come in a few moments if you need to, and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then I prayed for the sick, like Pastor Kevin told you I was going to do. For you, a mother comes and she has her little son in her arm. He was about 6 or 7 years of age. I looked at him and I said, son, what do you want Jesus to do for you tonight? And he said, well, I just want to be normal like everybody else my age. I said, who told you you weren't normal? And before he could answer, his mother answered, said, preacher, he doesn't have any bones in the bottom of his feet. He can't walk. He's never been able to walk. And he just wants to be able to play with his friends and be like every other little boy his age. I simply took him in my arms, prayed a very simple little prayer, and the miracle spoke for itself. When I put him on the ground and he went running all over the church as God put new bones in his feet. Come on and praise him, somebody. He's worthy of all our praise. The pianist fell off of the pew and fell on the floor and started speaking in tongues. It's a Baptist church. Not your pianist up here a few moments ago that was dance. It was a Baptist church. Hello? I couldn't pass it up. Pastor Kevin, the pastor, ran up and he said, we've witnessed a notable miracle. I couldn't pass it up. I said, how many of you want this power? That church now is a full gospel Baptist church. Tongue talking. Come on and praise him, somebody. My friend took me to the mansion I'll spend all eternity in. Each mansion is designed specifically for your likes and your particular needs. I went into my mansion. It wasn't ready for occupancy. I saw other mansions. I saw all kinds of things that would make people comfortable, that made them happy in their environment. But in my mansion, there was no furnishings. There were just 3 buckets of paint. My friend walked over and he just dipped his hand in one bucket and flung it on the wall, and a beautiful floral arrangement instantly appeared before our eyes. My nature, if you really get to know me, it's just the way I am. I picked up the whole bucket. I just flung it up in the air, and there was the sweetest release of a magnificent smell of roses. It was so intoxicating, so beautiful in its aroma. And my friend said, it's not ready for you to occupy. You have to leave. And that's when I left. Walked down those streets called Hallelujah Boulevard and Praise the Lord Avenue. Saw those flowers with faces singing and praising God. Saw all that the beautiful grass with diamonds that were just sparkling on them, and I came in contact with Jesus. Jesus, the lover of my soul, the Jesus we just sing about tonight, the Jesus that gave his life for us, that we would have the opportunity to live with him throughout all eternity. I fell at his feet as a dead man, but Jesus reached over and picked me up. He stood me up erect. He began to write upon the tablets of my heart a message that I faithfully delivered to this generation for the past 47 years. He said, I'm sending you back. He said, I want you to tell people what's going on and happening here in heaven. You will be worshiping and praising me for throughout all eternity. I'm the center of it all. Heaven is my creation for you. He said, tell them, don't ever buy into the condemnation that they are unworthy. He said, tell them they're worthy because I've redeemed them with my precious blood. He said, tell them there's a song to sing. There's a missionary journey to take. There's a book to write. He said, tell everyone that they have a purpose in this life. And then I must really emphasize what Jesus said. He said, why do my people not believe in me? Now, he didn't say, why do the heathen not believe me? He said, why do my people not believe in me? He said, why do my people reject me? Why do they not walk in my commandments? I was in the army, and there's one thing I learned when I was a private. Keep your mouth shut in the presence of a general and just do whatever the general says do. And so I'm just reporting what my commander in chief said to me. Jesus stands a little taller than the average Jewish man. I think this is hilariously funny, but I get asked this every single week. What nationality is Jesus? He's Jewish. You're not going to lose your ethnic background when you get to heaven. He had olive complexion. He had rabbinical curls. His hair, as I saw it, was white. His beard was white. I saw where they drove the nails into his hand. I saw where they planted the crown of thorns upon his head. I saw where they drove the nail into his feet. But he's not a little bitty baby that we celebrate at Christmas. Now he's the risen, resurrected Lord and Savior, our high priest and heavenly intercessor. Come on and give him glory. Come on and give him praise. He's worthy. He has blue eyes, beautiful blue eyes. Jews from the house, tribe, and lineage of David are known to have blue eyes. When Jesus spoke, his voice sounded like Niagara Falls. There's always an undercurrent of worship and magnificent praise that's going on in the presence of heaven. And I'm listening to all these sounds that I cannot adequately describe to you in these beautiful sights. It's beyond anything that you could possibly conceive in your imagination. And he's speaking to me, and he's writing upon the tablets of my heart, and he's given me instructions, and he's given me a message to deliver to this generation of which I have been faithful to do. But he said basically three things, and I summed them up in my book, that would indicate his soon imminent return. He said, number one, there'd be a spirit of restoration that would take place just prior to his return to take us to live with him. Restoration means to give back or make up. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's payday for the church, and it's payback for the devil. Get ready to get back what the devil has stolen from you. Jesus told me that just before he returned, there would be a great transfer of funds from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He said, tell my people they do not have a provision problem, rather they have a revelation problem. And when they discover who I am whatever they need. I am blessed, along my wife, to apostle a church up in Montrose, Pennsylvania. Up until 2 years ago, Pastor Kevin, it was the poorest area in the state. There's a beautiful little group of people up there. When I first started working with them, there were only 33. Now they have 50, I think, 7 members. They're having a massive revival. But it's just a small little group of people. And once a year, they will invite the whole town, maybe about 1,000 people in the whole surrounding region. They'll put on a big carnival. And they'll have something for the kids, and they have something that attracts bikers, and bikers come. We dedicate them to the Lord, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere and all kinds of food. And then I get to preach, and some phenomenal things now have happened over the past few years. But 2 years ago, I just simply asked the people, which I felt was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if they wanted to. No twisting of arms. But I just said, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. If you need a financial miracle, just put something down that represents finances to you, like a wallet or purse, something like that, and dance around it 7 times. Well, I've come to understand obedience creates an atmosphere for miracles. They didn't logically try to figure it out. They just accepted the word from the man of God and were obedient. After I left, as of probably 6 months, the pastor called, and he was shouting on the other end of the phone because every single person in the church, including the pastors, had oil struck on their property. Come on. And Dean and Angel and I were just up there last September, dedicated their $80,000 paid off auditorium. And I'll be going back here in just a couple of weeks to have another meeting. Now get ready. Does that interest anybody? Get ready. Get ready to get back what the devil's stolen from you. Jesus said our reaping would overtake our sowing. But don't give up. The enemy's trying to discourage you. The enemy's releasing false doctrines that are causing people to be grossly misled and be deceived. And there's a political spirit of manipulation that's operating in the world right now. And sadly, it's crept over into the church. And Jesus told me the last spirit that would attack the church would be the Jezebel spirit. And a spirit of witchcraft. Don't let that operate in your personal life or in the life of the church. Use discernment. And I know your pastor will help you to be sure that that happens here. Glory to God. But get ready to get back what the devil's stolen from you. And then also in relationships. When my son turned 16 years of age, and I won't go into all the gory details, but he turned against everything that we had instilled in his life up to that point. In a rage of anger one time, he pointed his finger in my face and said, I'll see you dead or in jail, and I don't care which one comes first. I said, bubble in, I've already died once, don't plan on doing that again. I'm not going to break the law and go to jail, so I don't opt for anyone. Well, we stood on the scripture, Isaiah 54:13, great is the peace of thy children. 2 years went by. And one day, only as the Holy Spirit could orchestrate it, I was preaching on the return of the prodigal son. Who should come into the church but my son? He stunk like the world. He looked like the world. And he acted like the world and talked like the world. But the Spirit of the Lord got hold of his heart that day and drew him back. Now he went ahead and he didn't think that he was smart enough to even graduate from high school. But he graduated from high school. Then he went to college. He made who's who. I didn't even make who's not. But he made who's who in the Collegiate Academy of college students. And now he's a prosperous, successful businessman. Houston, Texas. Ties to our ministry monthly. Married to my beautiful daughter-in-law and our 5-year-old grandson. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, get ready. Get ready to get back what the devil's stolen from you. How many of you has the devil stolen some finances? How many has he stolen your children? Lift your hand, just keep your hands up. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare every one of these children are going to return and come back to the Lord. We're not going to depart from here, Father. We're going to believe that they're going to go with us in the rapture. So right now, we decree and declare, great is the peace of our children. And you're going to bring back the finances that have been stolen so that this church can touch not only this region, but the whole world as they have been commissioned to do. In Jesus' mighty name, I claim it. Amen and amen. Come on and praise it. Come on, let's praise Him. It's done. Number two, the Lord said there'd be a release of teaching on prayer and a great emphasis on prayer before He returned. He said, Gary, always find a scripture upon which you can stand to substantiate what you're believing for. And then based upon that scripture, declare it is written. He said, once you find and say it is written and say that scripture, then you can confidently declare it is finished. He showed me spirits that rule and reign and target certain areas. If people will buy into the deception of those demons, then other demons will come and they'll be like swarms of flies and everything will begin to fall apart in that region or that community. But if we begin to pray and we begin to walk in spiritual unity, love plus unity equals miracles. Love plus unity equals miracles. That's what makes this church a success. That's why God's hand is mightily upon your pastoral staff and upon this church because of the love that flows forth. And He showed me when we get into that kind of atmosphere that our prayers go up and sharp barbed arrows and they pierce the darkness over regions. And suddenly warrior angels will come and intervene on our behalf and open up the windows so that the blessings can be deposited and imparted upon us. Amen. So walk in unity. Walk in love towards one another and decree and declare it is written. Number three, Jesus told me there'd be a release of the supernatural. There'd be great, mighty miracles occur prior to His return. Take miracles out of the Word of God and you have nothing but pulp bound by leather. Someone says, well, I don't understand miracles. Sweetheart, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives forth yellow butter and white milk, but I enjoy the product. I don't understand how electricity works. Maybe your mind is sharper than mine, but I don't understand. But I'm thankful that we're not sitting here in the dark in this auditorium. I'm thankful tonight somebody turned on the switch. If you wait till your little peanut brain can understand God's omnipotence, then you're going to miss out. Because the miracle's either coming your way or passing you by every moment of the day. Did you hear that? I said it's coming your way or passing you by every moment of the day. Reach out and grab it tonight. Say, I'm not going to let it depart. I'm going to get hold of my miracle. I was declared on 2012, January 2012, with pancreatic cancer. And I was off for about 3 months during 2012. And finally, the doctor sent me home. And I did exactly what I ask everyone to do when I go out ministering. I did the very same thing that I ask you to do. I came, got in the corporate anointing, just like we are here tonight. My pastor laid hands on me. My pastor's wife has a beautiful healing ministry, similar to that of the late Catherine Kuhlman. And they laid hands upon me. And it was February the 12th, 2012. I didn't feel like coming to church that Sunday morning. In fact, once I got prayer, there was no physical change in the way I felt. But I went back to my seat. Now listen to me, this is real important. I went back to my seat and I said, it is finished. I said, it is finished. Now, I'm going to lay hands on many of you here in just a few moments, and I'm believing for manifestations, but if it doesn't come instantly, just hold on and say, it is finished. It is done. According to the word of God, by His stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. On February the 14th, 2012, I went back for further tests. My whole stomach area was aligned with cancerous tumors. And when they went back in to do the diagnosis, they found no tumors in my body. I'm totally cancer free. Come on and praise it. Come on and praise it. One of the greatest miracles, and it's my heart's desire to bring her here sometime in the future. One of the greatest miracles I have ever witnessed is that of our daughter. When my wife was in the early stages of her pregnancy, she slipped and fell. And it damaged the frontal lobal portion of my daughter's brain. Doctor said she'd never achieve over a third grade level of mentality. When I was studying for my doctorate degree, she decided to work along with me and she earned her Master of Divinity degree. They said she had such a serious coordination problem, she couldn't catch a ball. They said she'd never be able to swim. She taught herself how to swim. And she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. God has done a marvelous, marvelous miracle in her life and has totally, totally used her. They said to us, put her in a mental institution. Just forget her. Go visit her every once in a while. But we stood on the Word of God because the Word of God works. And God's still working on her. God's still working on it and still doing miracles in her life. Now I'm in the presence of Jesus. So much Jesus is depositing inside of me that it would take many days for me to tell it all to you in deeper detail. But Jesus is downloading into my spirit, as the young people of this computer age would declare. He's downloading all this into my spirit to send me out to help hurting, suffering, dying humanity. Suddenly I heard my little sister on the earth below, and she was crying out, Jesus! Jesus! Oh, Jesus! 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 I'd been dead for over 61 minutes. Doctors say if oxygen ceases to flow to your brain within a period of 3 to 5 minutes, you become a vegetable. Some people think I'm a little fruity, but I confess that I have the mind of Christ. And all my facilities operate as God has ordained them to. And my little sister begins to cry out after she's heard me pronounced dead. And she cries out and uses the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, when you as a believer use the name of Jesus, every angel stands alert at attention on the balconies of heaven, ready to be dispensed on your behalf. Every demon quakes and quivers when you as a believer dare to use the name of Jesus. And I returned from heaven back into my body when my friend turned to me and said, you've got to go back. She's using that name. You've got to go back. She's using that name. There's power. There's power. Wonder-working power in the precious name of Jesus. They rushed me to San Juan County Medical Hospital, Farmington, New Mexico. They stabilized me. Early the next morning, I get the diagnosis. My father says to me, as he walks into the hospital room, son, the doctors have just informed me you're never going to be able to speak again, let alone sing. And then he told me the extent of the damage. The turn signal indicator had crisscrossed my face and it severed my nose. I have 100 stitches in my face. If you don't like the way I look, I do. I think, I'm trying not to be proud, but I thank God I thank God for plastic surgery. Amen. I thank God for plastic surgery. That the doctors could put me back together like they do. My jaw was broken in three places. My vocal cords were severed. My larynx was crushed. If you have a crushed larynx, you can't even pick up something like this piece of paper. You can't swallow, because whatever you swallow will go directly down into your lungs and you will suffocate. My neck was broken in three places, C1, C2, C3. I had the exact same break as Christopher Reeve. This has been documented by medical doctors and personnel all over the world. And they all attest to the fact, with the injuries that I sustained that night, I should be a paraplegic at the least. Usually if you have a C2 break, it will result in you being immobile for the rest of your life, or it will cause you death. All my teeth were knocked out, as I previously stated, but I have this mouth full, and I do real good with them, and you see I'm full gospel. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a mess. I needed a miracle. And when you need a miracle, you forget whatever denomination you're from. You forget the name of the church. You just know, I got to get hold of the miracle worker. Hello? Now, let me tell you something. The church that I grew up in, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just sharing something with you. I don't always share this, but I'm sharing it with you tonight. So that you'll be really thankful that you attend a church like this. And if you're looking for a good church home, you'll want to come be a part of this church and be a part of my good friends, Pastor Kevin and Sister Maria here, and be a part of this fellowship. Because when my pastor came in and looked at me in this condition, here's what he did, Pastor Kevin. He just turned and walked out. He wouldn't even pray for me. Now, how'd you like to have a pastor like that? That doesn't give you much confidence. Especially when they wouldn't even let me look at myself in a mirror for over almost a year. For 9 months, I couldn't even look in a mirror at myself. And he went out into the hall and he told my parents, he said, if he survives, that's what he said. He said, if he survives this, he's going to be a vegetable because oxygen ceased to flow to his brain for such a lengthy period of time. And he made this statement. I'm 18 years old, and he made this statement. I heard it. I heard him say, he said, no woman would ever want to marry him. Well, I've been married 44 years to a beautiful lady. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. Be careful. Be careful when you go in to pray for people in a situation like this. And remember that their spirit is always alert. Their body may be sedated, but speak to the spirit. We've seen in our ministry 4 people raised from the dead. You got to go in and you've got to speak to the spirit. You can't be moved by the circumstance or situation that you're looking at, because it's subject to change. And so I desperately needed a miracle, and I got into the Word, and I don't have time. I won't go into all the details, but I spent a long time in the Word, bathing myself in the Word. Again, I want to emphasize to you the importance of getting into a good local church like this. I was just recently, not too long ago, I did my 3rd program with my good friend Sid Roth, and on It's Supernatural. And now Sid's ministry has exploded. And I got phone calls from all over the world. And I want to say this because I want to emphasize this. I just feel like I really need to emphasize this to you. I don't always share this, but I want to share it tonight. All over the world, I got these phone calls. And I started asking people, they wanted me to agree with them on something. And so I'd pray with them if I could find a place of agreement. And then I started asking them, what church do you attend? Pastor Kevin, 99% of them said no church. Don't go anywhere. In fact, I even had people get mad at me. They said, what does that matter? Well, let me tell you, it matters a whole lot. If you go to a church that doesn't believe Jesus is still the healer, you're going to die. Hello? I'm sorry. You're going to die a lot quicker. And so I said to one lady, I said, well, I'm trying to find out what we can agree on. And I said, I want to find out where your faith level is. What can we join our faith in agreement? And she said, I don't go to church anywhere. She goes, I watch TV all the time, Christian TV. And she said, I just listen to all the evangelists on TV. And now, come on, don't get mad at me or judge me or anything. But I said, well, lady, you need to call your favorite evangelist because I can't help you. Goodbye. Hello? Now, it's important that you get into a good Bible-believing church that's going to disciple you, mature you, and grow you up so that you can go out and do exploits and do what Jesus called you to do. Amen. And this is a good place. So I got into the Word, and I bathed myself in the Word, and I began to study the Word, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith began to arise inside my spirit until one day on the radio, I heard this energetic trio that had just come on the scene. Two dynamic male singers and one beautiful alto voice. And it was the Bill Gaither Trio, Bill, Gloria, and Danny. And they were singing, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. And when I heard that song, I was lying there on the bed in my hospital room. All this reconstructive surgery had taken place, and I was being rehabilitated and in my spirit, because I couldn't speak in the natural, but in my spirit I said, oh God, what that song says, I know that's what you want to do in my life. And I'd read it in the Bible. I'd read where it was God's will to heal people. And suddenly Jesus just came into my hospital room. He just walked right into my hospital room, put his hand right on my throat, smiled, and turned and walked out. He didn't come in through the door. He didn't leave by the door. He is the door. Amen. And just as he walked out, the little nurse walked in, bringing my breakfast that morning, as she had done for the past 9 months. And she goes, good morning, Mr. Wood. How are you doing this morning? And I shook her up, startled her so much that she dropped the tray when I declared, I am healed in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. Now this may not be the best voice you've ever heard, but it's the best one I ever heard. Because I medically can't speak. It's impossible for me to speak. Jesus touched me. Jesus healed me. She dropped that tray, went running outside, got the doctors. Doctors came in. They started poking things down inside of me and said, saying to me, you can't speak, you can't talk. There's no way, it's impossible. I got a second opinion. Jesus, touch me. I checked out of that hospital, went over to the elevators. The door opened. Someone said, going up. I said, I've already been. Let me tell you about it. And I started telling everybody about the way to heaven. I started telling everybody how to get to heaven and what Jesus spoke to me. And now he's opened the door. My book is in four different languages, and it covers the whole world now. I never realized how an 18-year-old boy could have an experience like I had and the message get out. But thank God for the internet. Thank God for all the modern equipment that we have right now to spread the gospel. There's never been a time frame and a time that we're going to see such manifestation of the harvest as the time in which you and I are living. It wasn't too long going into a religious system from which I came out of that I realized I needed more power. The Bible teaches that whenever you are born again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Holy Spirit comes in you. Romans 8 and 9, without the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And that happens at the moment of conversion. The Holy Spirit comes in you. But the Bible teaches in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's a difference in Him coming in you and coming upon you to empower you. Someone says, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? No, but it's like these shoes I have on. The tongue comes with it. It's part of the package. It's included in the deal. So just accept it all. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? I was invited to give my testimony in Dallas, Texas at the first annual Southern Baptist Charismatic Conference. I gave just briefly, I mean very briefly, less than 5 minutes, what I have shared with you thus far. And suddenly there was an explosion and people stood up in spontaneous worship and praise, clapping. And one lady on the front row was screaming so loud she was above everyone else. It's always a lady. And she goes, I knew Him! 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 And the host of the conference stopped and said, what is it, man? What is it that you know about it? She goes, I knew Him. I'm the nurse that attended Him the night of the accident. And I know everything He's saying to be true. So I went and got down on my knees, lifted up my hands towards heaven and said, oh God, I want all the power that's available from heaven to earth for me except speaking in tongues. You think I'm kidding? I want all the power that's available from heaven to earth for me except speaking in tongues because I am Southern Baptist. And Lord, we believe. Have you ever tried to tell God, who holds the seven seas in the palm of His right hand, have you ever tried to tell Him, creator of the universe, He's responsible for the next breath you take, buddy? Hello, have you ever tried to tell Him your theological viewpoint? You're talking to God. God. Hello? He said to me, you think I'm joking, making this all up? I'm being honest and pure before you. He said to me audibly, I heard His voice. He goes, what's a Southern Baptist? I'm Assembly of God. Personally, I was broken in a million pieces and Jesus picked me up and assembled me and put me all back together. God doesn't look at your little denominational box. Hello? He only looks at you through the blood. That's what I love about your pastors. They are building a wonderful fellowship here that's a relationship. A relationship. You're not joining an organization. You're becoming a part of a family. And you can just have wonderful fellowship here and get ready and practice for fellowship with Him throughout all eternity. So I just simply lifted my hands and said, oh God, I want all the power. And I surrendered all. That's what Jesus wants of us tonight. He wants us just to surrender. I don't know how it happened. I'm going to wrap this all up. I don't know. I won't know till I get to heaven. Somehow, some way, my earthly father, who was responsible for my birth, heard me preach like I've preached and tell the story tonight. And he heard it somehow. He got a tape. He listened to it and he got born again from listening to a tape. And my dad and I had a short reunion. And when he was sick in the hospital, he'd have that tape there and he'd say, anybody that would come in, he'd say, you want to know how to go to heaven? My son's been there and he'll tell you. And if he could get him to stand there, it's a true story. If he could get him to stand there just for a few minutes, he'd push the play button and have me right where I'd be telling people about heaven. And I know there were some people that received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as a result. Then I got asked to do the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life. And that's when my mother, my real natural birth mother, called me on the phone and said, the family requests your presence in Los Angeles, California to preach the funeral of your departed brother. My brother was a member of a gang. Everybody's heard of this gang. It's called the Hell's Angels. My brother was the sergeant of arms. Ladies and gentlemen, I've lived long enough. You know, if I was a phony, I have found out in the past few years that I've been checked out by the FBI to see if I'm running a con, that I just want money. What a joke. But I had been checked out thoroughly by the FBI, and I have ran into people who knew my brother, rode with my brother. He was mean, no question in my life. He was an enforcer. He broke people's bones. On the day that was hit on his funeral, my mother came to the funeral with broken legs that he had broke previously. He was just mean. And sometimes when he wasn't on drugs and he wasn't high, I could talk to him. And I'd say, David, give your heart and life to Jesus. And he'd say, don't you ever embarrass me in front of my friends. He said, man, if you embarrass me in front of the gang, he said, I'll hurt you. And then he'd just chill out. And often he'd do this. He'd pull out some money. He'd give me a $20 bill. And he'd say, hey, bub, you're doing a good job, man. I'm proud of you. Keep doing your thing. And I go, oh, David, keep your money, man. I don't want your money. It's not going to buy you entrance into heaven. Please, man. Come on, bub. Give your heart and life to Jesus. But he put it off, and he put it off, and he put it off, and he put it off once too oft. There was a drug raid. There were shots exchanged, and he was killed. And he lay dead. And Mom calls and says, would you come and would you preach the funeral? I have to stand over his lifeless body in a coffin, knowing the way he lived, knowing that I'm confident he never, ever gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, knowing that his lifestyle indicated that he was in hell at that very moment, and it wasn't a pleasant experience. It wasn't like preaching to you here tonight. What do you say when you can't say anything good about somebody? And I asked the Holy Spirit, what I say? And the Holy Spirit said, tell them there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Holy Spirit said, tell them your brother lived by that philosophy. And the philosophy was that found in Judges, the last chapter, the last verse. Every man did that which was right in his own sight. And Holy Spirit said, tell them your brother lived by that philosophy. And he died by that philosophy. And he's in hell. You could have heard a pin drop. And I know we don't hear much preaching about hell anymore. And that's why there's a lot of it going around. There's a real hell. It's really, it's literal. Jesus spoke about it far more than he spoke about heaven. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of eternal separation from God, who is love and who is light. For all eternity, you'll fall and fall and fall and fall, but you'll never land. You'll burn and burn, but you'll never be consumed. Who in their right mind would choose such an eternal destiny when you go to this beautiful place that I've described to you, this wonderful place the Bible calls heaven? I told him there was going to be a judgment. It'd be a great white throne judgment. There'll be a great screen like this screen. And at one point, everybody will stand that's rejected Christ, and they'll stand before Christ the judge. And they'll make all kinds of excuses. And my brother was a con artist, and I'm sure he'll try to say something like this. Come on, Jesus, cut me some slack. Let's make a deal. I gave my brother a 20 spot to preach. That ought to count for something. Now, I don't know how long that shenanigan will go on. But I think it'll come down like this. Jesus will say, David, I could have been your go-between. I could have been your advocate. I could have been your lawyer. But now I am your judge. Sentenced to hell. You say, preacher, I don't believe in a God that sends people to hell. I don't either. You send yourself. He doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to spend all eternity with Him. But He's a just God, and He'll give you the choice. You can make the choice. But your eternal destiny's at stake. Suddenly, one of those young Hell's Angels, he was sitting right over here, he just fell out on the floor. And he just started weeping and crying. And I'll never forget, he just started crying, my God, my God, my God, he was saying. Well, there's nothing else I could do for David. It was over, it was finished. So I said, goodbye, David. I won't ever see you again. I have to minister to the living now. So I go to this Hell's Angel and I lead him to Jesus. I go to the next one, I lead him to Jesus. I go to the next one, I lead him to Jesus. And I offered an invitation like I'm fixing to do right now. And many, many of them gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And right now, all over America, there are Christian motorcycle organizations that were birthed that day in Los Angeles, California, at my brother's funeral. And I come to my mother and I close. My mother, who's a prostitute, my mother who gave up my little sister and I. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, I've pleaded with you so many times, but I have to warn you once again. You have two sons. Mom, one of them rejected Christ. He's in hell. Another one is standing in front of you, as I've done so many times, pleading with you to give your heart and life to Jesus. But Mom, I know this for certain. You are going to spend eternity with one of your sons. Which one will it be? She said, I want to go to heaven with you. And I got to lead my mom to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now my mom's there, and my little sister went on home a few years ago, and I have a lot of family over there. The only thing that my wife, Dina, ever gets concerned about is she said, sometimes I think you're way over there far more than you're down here. But I'm on assignment. And I say it like this. I'm a man on a mission with a message. Amen. To make Jesus real to this generation. And with every breath that's in me, I'm going to keep on delivering this message until I hear that blast and we go home to live with Him for all eternity in a beautiful place called heaven. And I want to invite you to go with me. All the glory is here. Yes, God's glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. So whatever you may need, just reach out and receive and say it's mine. I take it now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. His glory is in this house. His presence is permeating the very atmosphere. How many of you'd be honest tonight and you'd say, Brother Gary, if the trump of God were to sound, if Jesus were to return and I were to have to stand before Him before this day comes to an end, I don't believe I'd hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never
never ask Him to wash away my sins because I've just been living my life with whatever makes me feel good and the way I want to do it. But tonight, you've painted a picture. It's a picture of a decision between a place of perpetual happiness, joy, or a place of utter terror. Heaven or hell, it's just that simple. And it's a choice. And you make it in this lifetime. Now, I'm not asking you to join this church. I love Pastor Kevin and Maria. I love them. I love the staff here. I love this church. I love coming here. If I lived in this area, I'd be a part of this church. I'd do everything to make it successful. And I know you'll want to pray about that. But I'm not asking you to just join the church. I'm asking you to be sure your name's on God's roll, that your sins have been washed away with His precious, precious red blood. And you'll hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your eternal reward and rest in this beautiful place I prepared for you for all eternity, a place called heaven." You'd say, "Brother Wood, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure." Maybe your parents attended church regularly. Maybe you've attended church for a long period of time, but you know deep down inside, you go through motions. You play little religious games. You say religious phrases, but you know deep down inside, things just aren't right with you and Papa God. You'd say, "Brother Gary, before I leave this house tonight, I want to be sure all is well with my soul." Now, I'm going to pray for the sick later, so I don't want you to come. If you need a physical healing, I'll pray for that later. I'm talking about those and you're just not sure you're right with God. Slip your hand up quickly and say, "Pray for me." All over the auditorium, just slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And if I don't see your hand, I see some hands, but if I don't see your hand, God the Father sees your hand. And He sees your heart. How many of you'd say, "Brother Gary, I am a child of God, I'm a Christian, but if Jesus were to return tonight, I'd be so embarrassed. Because there's things in my life that I've been participating in, things that I've been doing, and it's so dishonoring to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I haven't really been committed, but tonight after hearing this message, I want to make a fresh commitment of my faith to Jesus." Please pray for me. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many of you would say, "Brother Gary, I don't understand about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, but I know I lack that power in my Christian walk, and I want that kind of power. I want all that Jesus has for me." Lift your hand up and say, "Pray for me." God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand. Everyone stand. While you're standing, hon, can you just sing a verse? Just sing a song, whatever the Holy Ghost has put in your heart. While my sister is singing the verse of this song, every single one of you that raised your hand, I want you to come down here. I want to pray with you. We want to give you some literature. We're going to just talk to you for a few moments. And I promise you, I'll stay here as long as the pastor will let me. I'll stay here and pray for you if you have sickness in your body and you need a touch physically. I'll pray for you for that also. But those of you who said you want to be sure Jesus is Lord of your life, you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you want to recommit your life to Jesus because you've just grown cold and indifferent and grown away from following Him in complete obedience. You lifted your hand. You asked for my prayer, and I want you to respond. Step out of your seat. People will let you get out. If you're in the middle, they'll move out of your way. Step out quickly and come stand in front of me right now. These are coming. God bless you. Come on, go ahead. Sit. Come on, come on. Just stand in front of me right now. Come on. Just stand down here in front of me. Come on down here. Come on, all over the auditorium. All over the auditorium. People are responding. Come on. Come on, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. They're still coming. There's others of you. We'll wait just a moment for you. Come quickly. We'll wait for you. God bless all of you who responded. You've made the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you just to pray this prayer with me right now. And I want us all to pray this prayer. Even if you're seated back in the back, I want you to pray this prayer along with me. Let's pray it together. Oh God, if never before, right now this moment, I want to be sure I'm ready to go to heaven. The Bible says, and I believe the Bible, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know I have sinned. I have broken at least one of your commandments. And I'm so sorry. I want to be sure my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to sell out totally to Jesus Christ and be your disciple. So tonight I make a decision. I'm turning from the world, from the flesh and the devil. And I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ, you are Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. I completely surrender all of my life totally to you. From this moment forth, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. And I'm going to help everyone get ready to go to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just lift your hands and begin to praise Him. Just begin to praise Him. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. I receive you as my counselor, my guider. You will help me. In the name of Jesus, I believe I receive. Thank you for baptizing me with your supernatural power in the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I will not be denied. Tonight is my night. In Jesus' name. Now just begin to praise Him. Just open your mouth and begin to praise Him. Just begin to speak. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to thank Him. Just begin to worship Him. Just begin. He's feeling you right now. He's feeling you with His supernatural power. Now I want every one of you to look at me. Just for a minute. It won't be very long, I promise you. And if you want personal prayer, I will be out here waiting to pray for you. We just want you to follow this person right over here and go right back into this room for just a moment. There's a personal counselor that wants to pray with you. They want to give you some literature. And they'll answer your questions. If perhaps there's some things that I didn't make clear enough tonight, you can talk to them about it. And like I said, I'll be out here. I'll be waiting for you. If you want personal prayer from me, concerning a physical need, I'll be happy to pray with you in just a moment. Would you just turn to your right, my left, and just go right over there in that little room. Just for a moment, all of you. Can we rejoice and praise the Lord? Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and rejoice.
Amen. If I could, I need to borrow some of our prayer team, you know, our prayer team that comes up. If you're in the room right now, would you make your way over there to the prayer room as well? I would love for you to slip out. We could use a few extra workers back there. Any of our normal prayer team, if you'll just make your way wherever you are seated, we would love to get your help over here in the back. Have you enjoyed that today? Have you been blessed? Amen. Amen.